The message to the shepherds, what was the reaction? It said the shepherds were terrified, they were afraid. It seems like most every time anybody sees an angel, the angels first have to say what? Don't be afraid. It's very interesting that that seems to be a pretty common expression for the angels to have to relieve people's fears to begin with. Don't be afraid. The second thing they said is what we've read this evening. I tell you the good news of a great joy. That's kind of the what. The who is all peoples. That's whom the great joy is for, Jews and Gentiles. Because we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned, haven't we? And that's what we hear from the angel. The good news brought great joy. And what's the great joy? A Savior is born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, why do we need a Savior? Well, the alternative is if we don't have a Savior, we would spend eternity in hell, the lake of fire. What a sorry situation that would be. Here, the one that is coming, they identify. The angel said, this Savior is Christ the Lord, Messiah. They were expecting him to come. In fact, they had waited for centuries for the Messiah to come. This is his identity. And then they expand the identity a little bit more. Because this Messiah, the people would have known that the Messiah was the anointed one, commissioned for a special task. He was the servant of the living God. He was the light to the Gentiles. He was the glory of the nation of Israel. He was the redeemer of the world. This one would come and deal forever with the sins of the people. See, up till now, the Jews continue to bring sacrifices day by day, week after week, year after year. And that was a reminder that the wages of sin is death. But someone would deal with that eventually, and that was going to be the Messiah. God sent him, Isaiah 53 says, to bear the sins of us all. Isaiah 53:6 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all were like sheep. We've gone astray. God put the sin on him, though, to bear that away. And then the angel said about the sign. It was very simple. Here, the Messiah, who is the Lord, the deity, God came. He is the creator. He is the Red Sea Redeemer, the one who brought them out, just as we heard the shepherds talking about the Passover. This one is the one who brought them out. And this one is the Lord. The Messiah is God himself stepping into our world and being the Savior. The sign was that they would find this one, the Savior, wrapped in cloths as a baby lying in this manger, the cow feed trough. And that was going to be pretty simple as well. But the point is that God came into our world as a baby, as a man, as a boy child, and they could go see him. Now, up till now, nobody saw God. And yet God came to earth, and they could go see him. Now, this good news was not just here in the shepherd's time. If you were to move through the book of Luke, you will find other people, and we're going to examine those this evening. You don't have to turn these in your Bible, because I'm just going to move right through them. But there was a man who was paralyzed, couldn't move. Four of his friends brought him on a stretcher, and they wanted to see Jesus. They felt like Jesus would be able to heal this man. They carried him up the outside of the building, and they removed the roof tiles, and they lowered him down. And you know what Jesus said to him? Your sins are forgiven. Wait a minute, I really want to be healed. I want to be able to move again. I'm paralyzed. And yet Jesus went for the most important thing first. He said, your sins are forgiven. What good would a body be in good health if you're going to spend eternity in hell? Absolutely no good at all. Jesus dealt with the most important issue first by saying, your sins are forgiven. And then because of the criticism of the Pharisees there, who could forgive sins? Only God could forgive sins. He was showing that he indeed was God. Not only could he forgive sins, which they couldn't see, he said to the man, take your bed, rise up, and walk, go home. It's just as easy for me to forgive sins as it is to say to this man, rise up and walk. He did. He folded up that stretcher, and he tucked it under his arm, and off he went. His sins forgiven, and his body healed. That was good news, wasn't it? That's deliverance. The good news, the Savior came. He took care of the sin problem. A couple chapters later, Jesus was at a Pharisee's home, and as he was, they were all sitting down at the table or reclining at the table, a woman came in, and she had a rather immoral background. And she had a special alabaster flask of expensive perfume. And she began to weep, and her tears fell on Jesus' feet. She wiped them with her hair, and she also anointed his feet with this perfume. And you know what Jesus said at the end of that time, because he had some interaction with the Pharisee there about forgiveness again. He says to the woman, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. The fact that she came and recognized him to be the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would redeem and honor her, she was forgiven. Her faith saved her. The next chapter, there's an entirely different situation. Jesus meets on the other side of the Sea of Galilee a man who was demon-possessed. In fact, a multitude of demons were living in him. This man was scared. He was naked. He was homeless. He lived in tombs or caves where dead people were buried. He had superhuman strength. Nobody could come close to him. Everybody was afraid of him in town. It was a very scary situation. And yet, when he came to Jesus, Jesus freed him from those demons. Again, here is again the Savior, the Messiah, who has the power not only over disease, not only over the power of sins, but also the power of demons. He cast the demons out of him, and the man wanted to go with him and follow him as a disciple. But Jesus said, no, I want you to go home. I want you to tell everybody in your town, right around you, how great God is and what great things God did for you. Isn't that good news? That was what this man experienced, and he shared that with the people around him. In fact, when Jesus was preaching back in this area again, many people responded, probably because of that man's testimony. The people from the town that they were right near came out and saw this man, and instead of being naked, he was clothed. Somebody gave him some clothes. He was sitting rather than shrieking through the tombs. And he was in his right mind. They hadn't seen him this way before. It was a very special occasion for the town, but they didn't want Jesus around. They said, no, we don't want you here. Please go away. But this man saw the great news and the great deliverance that he had experienced, and he was glad. So just like that news that the angel said, we bring you good tidings of a great joy. A Savior is born today. These people experienced that. A few chapters later, in Luke 18, there is a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. And as Jesus is coming through town, this man knew who was coming. They were crying out, and this man cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, obviously this man knew something. Messiah was going to be the Son of David, wasn't he? And he had maybe heard already some of the things that Jesus could do. Have mercy on me. Did he want his sins forgiven? I'm sure he did. He wanted to see. He was blind. He was a beggar. He couldn't work. He wanted to see. And Jesus healed him, took him out of the darkness and made him well. But you know, Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Jesus always appreciated people's faith. It is that decision that you choose to trust somebody. And Jesus was trustworthy. And this man then followed Jesus. I'm sure he had his sins forgiven as well because of that element of faith. It wasn't just to have a sight, but it was to follow Jesus because he was the Messiah. He was the Savior. Another man, another chapter, a guy by the name of Zacchaeus, you know, the wee little man that climbed up in the sycamore tree. Maybe you learned that song as a child. But what did he do? He was a tax collector. He was a traitor to the Jews. He was a Jewish man. He was working for the Roman government. That must have really disturbed a lot of people. And yet, this man received Jesus into his home, had a meal. This man repented. This man made restitution for the things that he had taken without just cause. And then he gave half of his possessions to the poor. I mean, he really made a lifestyle change. Why? Because Jesus stepped into his life. And he is the Savior, he is the Messiah, and it made a big difference in Zacchaeus' life. It said in that very same chapter, just a little while later, Jesus told the people, "I've come to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus had to realize he was lost, and then he repented. He made that about face in his attitude, in his faith, in his lifestyle. And then there's one more man that had the great joy and the good news welded together. This is the criminal, one of the criminals on the cross next to Jesus. For a while, both of the criminals were hurling abuse to Jesus. And then one guy, one of the two, must have really thought about it. Because he said to the other man, "We are getting what we deserve." And then he said, by way of confession and affirmation, "This man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. He is innocent." He realized that Jesus was the one who was pure. Jesus was the one who was sinless. And then he makes a request. He said, "Jesus, would you remember me when you come in your kingdom?" I believe that that is really an element of faith. Who did he realize Jesus was? He was the Messiah, the King. And he also realized that in order for Jesus to come in his kingdom, what would have to happen? He would have to rise again. Wow, there's a lot packed right in that statement. "Jesus, would you remember me when you come in your kingdom?" What did Jesus say? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." That faith, that hope, all welded together there in that man. And I believe it. What did he have? If he didn't make that decision, he would have had eternity in hell, just as the other criminal did experience. But what's the good news? The good news of the great joy comes through receiving God's gift of the Savior, Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord. And that's Jesus' message when he comes back to the disciples at the end of the book of Luke. He sends them out. He says the death and resurrection, he talked to them about that. But he said repentance for forgiveness of sins needs to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. That was exactly what the angel said at the beginning, wasn't it? "I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for who? All the people." All the nations, Jesus specifies, it's even every ethnic group, because that's the word he uses there. Not just countries, but nations, the ethnic groups. Very similar to the angel's message. So we see a paralyzed man, an immoral woman, a man who was possessed by demons, a blind man, a man who had a lifestyle of greed, and a criminal. Boy, that's quite a bunch who responded to the news of great joy. The Savior, God himself, born and laid in manger that day. That was the angel's message. Now, you may or may not identify with any of those people. We're still included in the angel's message, though, of the great joy of all the people, because we are a part of that all the people, aren't we? And that's the message that I give to you tonight. That's the message we heard from our brothers up here as they shared the story of the first, of Jesus' incarnation. So we're grateful for that. And I hope that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. If you don't, you can trust him right now. It's not a hard thing, but it is a decision that you make. It's not an emotion. You don't lose into it. I say, "Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. And I realize and acknowledge that you died and rose again for me personally. And I trust you from this point on to be my Savior." If you haven't done that, I really hope you do that tonight. That's the most important thing. Why? What's the alternative? It's to spend eternity in hell. And we don't want to do that. I wouldn't want you to do that. And that's why that news of great joy, this Savior, you need to be saved. And I suggest that you do that this evening. Let's pray. If you need to do that, you do that while I'm praying, okay? Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. And Father, as we've heard the news of great joy that there's a Savior born so that we would not have to spend eternity in hell, I pray that if there's someone here this evening who doesn't know you as their Savior, they would make that decision this evening to put their trust in you, acknowledging that they're a sinner, just like people did in the New Testament during the Gospel time. Lord, we know that this message has gone on for centuries, and yet it's as fresh today as it ever was. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now, tonight was the last of our Advent readings, and we appreciate our brothers doing the reading for us this evening. And we are going to say another verse on the slide after we sing "What Child Is This?" And then Hudson and I are going to play a trumpet.
Thank you.
stand together and sing the last two songs. Bless you.